You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you're just joining us, we're discussing Measure O, an ordinance on the city of Sacramento's ballot which would compel the city officials to clear homeless encampments and increase shelter space. We just heard from the chair of the Yes on O campaign. Now we're going to turn to a different perspective, urging voters to reject Measure O. Leading that charge is Sacramento City Council member Katie Valenzuela, one of the most notable and vocal opponents of Measure O. So you are one of the most prominent community voices to speak out against Measure O. Why do you want voters to reject it?
I want voters to reject it to send a message that we are sick of the status quo. I know a lot of folks are looking for action, and I hear that constantly. We need to do something. We need to do something. But they want action because they want to see results. And unfortunately, what Measure O will result in is a lot of the same. And I hope voters will see that and send the message that this type of deal-making, this type of approach is no longer acceptable.
Why, in your view, will it be more of the same?
Well, primarily, the first off, it doesn't address why more people are becoming homeless. We have about 7 people a day that are becoming unhoused, and this measure does nothing to stop that inflow. You may have heard the mayor and others talk about how we've housed or sheltered about as many people as are on the street right now. That's true, and in part because we're not addressing the root issue of housing, of emergency assistance, the things that worked well during the pandemic that we need to scale up to stop the inflow. But it's also not building on any best practices for what will people drive people to accept services. We don't just want to offer people services. We want them to take the services. And what that means is you need to have a few different options available for different people. There's a lot of reasons why a veteran, say, with PTSD would say no to a congregate setting, right? Or someone who'd been assaulted. There's also a reason why someone who's camping with 4 or 5 folks that they've known for years that they feel safe with would say no to a bed if we didn't have enough beds for all of them and if they'd have to separate. So I think what we've learned in the field is that if we're offering them a variety of options, 8 out of 10 times, folks will say yes if we do the work and we build the trust. But this measure only offers people one thing. If you say no to that one thing, you don't have to accept. You just have to move. So what we're basically signing up for is another cycle of just moving people around. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of times that our officers and our outreach staff would rather not be spending time and energy telling folks just to move down the block, across the street, down the street, wherever. So it's really not setting us up for success based on those best practices.
As you know, there are more than 9,000 people in Sacramento County who are currently unhoused. And some would argue that this measure came about as a result of elected officials failing to serve some of the most vulnerable people in our community. We see it throughout the city and throughout the county, and that the status quo has become growing encampments. Proponents of Measure O would argue that. What is your response to that statement in terms of what level of responsibility should the city hold, in your view, as a council member?
Well, I'll start by saying that we're all frustrated. And I think a lot of the work I'm doing right now is talking to folks about how the advocates, the folks on the street, the folks opposing this measure, none of us think the status quo is okay. And we're all very frustrated. I think the city holds a lot of responsibility when it comes to affordable housing, the types of units that could help prevent someone from becoming homeless and help get people off the street. Our shelters are full of folks who are working now. We've got people on our streets who have income who can't find a place to go. And that is something that is a longer-term solution, but is something I feel does fall pretty squarely on the city's shoulders. We need to figure out how to solve that housing issue. But when it comes to the services, those sort of things that, you know, when I talk to people at the county who say there's almost 600 people on a wait list for substance abuse residential services, right? Those are the services where you're going to live somewhere while you get help, which is what folks on the street or folks in vulnerable positions need to be successful. They can't do outpatient. When I say 600 people are on that wait list, I'm thinking, okay, there's a bigger issue here. Those are the types of services that might also help keep someone from getting onto the street, might also help get people off of the street. You can't really expect somebody to get sober when they're out in crisis, surrounded by other activities. So there is a service gap issue that's happening here that really is that safety net that we need to make sure we're taking care of folks when they enter mental health crisis, when they have substance abuse crisis, when they need emergency assistance, when they have say their big bill comes through for cancer or car repair or something they weren't expecting. We need to have a safety net built for that. And that's something that is really outside of the city's control.
Going back to your colleagues at the city council and just with the city council member, Mai Vang shares your opposition, but Measure O does have the support of the mayor, the vice mayor, as well as other council members like Rick Jennings, Sean Lalowie, and Jay Chenier. Can you understand their position?
Somewhat, yeah. I know that it is really hard as a local elected to constantly be getting calls about something. And your best answer is, I can't help right now, right? You know, we've taken a certain advocacy posture in our office where we're really pushing very vocally at the county, at the state for solutions. But I understand why my colleagues might see this as a path forward because they're hopeful that it will push the county negotiations specifically. And so I don't discredit them for wanting to support something that they hope will lead the county to come to the table. I think when you talk, most of the time when they talk about this measure, they're all talking about the county coming to the table, the county coming up with an agreement, the county helping. So,
and that has to happen. And it's that, contingent on, if this passes, it's contingent on the county and the city reaching a deal.
Yeah, exactly. And those conversations have been ongoing from before Measure O, from when I first came into office. We've been having those conversations. I am worried specifically, and where we disagree is around the private right of action in this measure. I'm very concerned that anybody who sees an encampment that they think should be abated will be filing complaints with the city, and we will have to set up a process to respond to that. There's deadlines and timelines in the measure that even if we're in the right, we still have to respond. We still have to process. We still have to act on that complaint. And it could be thousands of those complaints, right? I mean, we have no idea how many of those will come in. My great fear is that not only will we not have the money to implement more services, but that we might actually be spending the money we have on staffing up a new line of work for the city for citizens to complain. And I think it's redundant because people can already email their council members. They can already call 311. They can already call in to city council meetings. And I'm also worried that we're essentially setting up a very contentious mood in our city where folks will vote for this. And then when nothing happens in 90 days or 100 days or longer, they're going to get even more frustrated with the city. And not to say that, like I said, there are things we could be doing better, but we are not the ones that hold the keys to the path forward here alone. And we do not deserve the full attention and vitriol of the public.
As a city council member, your focus is, I mean, your district is in the city center. So you're really at the core of this balance that is very difficult to strike when it comes to serving those who are most vulnerable while also serving the business community and also balancing public safety. You've been at the center of these debates when it's surrounding the issue of homelessness. How do you explain your role to residents throughout your district that are faced with this crisis, a humanitarian crisis, but also an economic and public safety crisis on a daily basis and are frustrated?
Yeah, I mean, I always start with with empathizing because, I mean, when I get those calls and things happen that are not really not good for different people and unhoused and housed and business owners alike, and it is incredibly frustrating to get those calls and to know that what I'm going to tell them is not what they want to hear. I can't come in and say, okay, I'm going to deploy the mental health team. We're going to go out there. We're going to pick up this person. We're going to get them to the spot they need to go. They're going to get the help they need. So they hopefully won't come back. You know, a lot of what we're in the position of, which is not a great position to be in, is mitigation, right? You know, we're really responding. We're trying to help with trash. You know, we're trying to help with any criminal activity that may have occurred, right? You know, we're working with our different city departments to, as best we can, manage the impacts of a real humanitarian crisis. And those are really the tools we have. And so I do get frustration back from a lot of those folks saying, well, we want more. And what I'd like them to hear is that I want more, too. I don't like that that's our response as a city. I don't like that we don't have those tools because I don't like continuing to tell people, you're right. It's you have seen that person before. You're right. That person is in crisis. You're right. They do need a place they can go to get help. And there's nothing I can do to really address that root issue, which is what I don't like the fact, but I think we're spending a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of really skilled people in our community. Our officers in the Central City, for example, they tell me about 90% of their time is spent responding to calls involving someone who is unhoused. And those are not usually criminal calls, right? Those are people calling 911 because they don't know what else to do and they don't have any other tools. So we're really catching the brokenness of all of the systems above us at the city level and doing the best we can to mitigate. But I definitely understand why people are frustrated with those responses because I'm frustrated with giving that response.
Why do you think Measure O came about?
I think it came about through real frustration. You know, I haven't doubted. I think most of the proponents really jumped on board with this because they hoped that this would be the key, you know. And I hear from people in the community who say, well, isn't this going to finally force the county to come to the table? And won't this finally, you know, force us to do this and that? And the reality is it won't. You know, if you really, I know a lot of folks don't sit down and read, you know, dozen page policy documents like I do. But when you really read this measure, it's set up to not do anything unless the county comes through. And we can't force the county to come through. I think some people think that voting yes for this will send a message to the county that they want them mm-hmm. to come through. I can't answer that. All I can say is that we've been sending that message for quite some time. What I do think is working is when we send it directly to the board and when we're talking to them in context of their budget or specific decisions they're going to make on services, and we're saying we need more, we're starting to finally see them inch forward a dozen beds here, some reentry beds there, some drop in mental health services here. So I think that the pressure being applied at the city has really distracted attention away from the county board, and that voting for this measure may in fact have the opposite effect that some hope it will.
Are there pieces of Measure O that you think could be a building block to addressing homelessness?
I think the terms of scale and pace is something that as a model we could look to for a county agreement, right? You know, how many beds should we expect by when? What type of services should we expect by when? That's the sort of detail that I'm looking for out of the agreement. But I'll note, you know, that unfortunately we were told in April it was coming any day now. And now here we sit in October, and in August they said, well, you'll know what it'll say before the ballots drop, and ballots dropped last week. I don't know what's in this agreement that's being discussed. So I guess for me, what I'm hoping will happen out of all of this is that real frustration, the real interest in knowing what to expect, when to expect, having accountability on deadlines. That part I agree with. Just everything else in Measure O, I don't.
When it comes to deadlines, I mean, the city has set lofty goals in recent years. I can't even count how many stories I've done on the goals the city has set. But my colleague Chris Nichols here at Cap Radio reports that the city faces a potentially $40 million funding shortfall, coupled with an ambitious homeless siting plan that was, I think, proposed last summer, expected to create 20 shelter sites across the city, but it has essentially stalled. So mm-hmm. what can be done in the immediate term to address a growing number of people who are living on the streets?
I love that question. Yeah, the siting plan stalled for a lot of reasons. A lot of these sites fell through. There was contamination we didn't know about. It just cost way more and took way longer. And in the end, maybe if we could write our check, we'd be able to open a few hundred more spots for people. But that's it. I think in terms of triage, I talk a lot about camp stabilization right now. It's almost like a safe ground light model, right? Where if you imagine if we had staff, maybe not 24/7, but pretty close at some of these bigger encampments, right? You had trash, you had bathrooms, you had food, the sort of basic drinking water, you know, the basic needs that people could be there who are trained professionals, not law enforcement, right, who could really keep an eye on folks. Maybe they're folks in the encampment we hire. Maybe they're folks who, like our Department of Community Response, were unhoused themselves. But if we could just get out there and staff things, we could build that trust. We could start to decrease the safety and the tension issues around and within these camps. We could really ensure that we're making sure people's basic needs are met, and that if there's a problem, that there's somebody there who's trained to know whether they can handle it or whether it's time to call and back up, right? So when I talk about camp stabilization, I know a lot of folks are like, oh, you just want the camps to stay there. I don't. You know, I do want them to find the housing they need. But the reality is, if everything goes the way we all dream and there's benchmarks and there's timelines and there's funding, we're talking maybe we're going to do this in increments. It's not going to happen tomorrow. And in the meantime, what do we do with those larger encampments? You know, I talk about the American River Parkway because that's obviously a very hot button issue. None of us think people should be on the parkway. But the reality is the $25 million that we just got from the state will be a drop in the bucket. You know, it's costing about $40,000 a year to shelter people. So when you do the math,
on 40 how million. Many
folks, about 40,000. Sorry,
40,000?
Total for per person.
Per person.
So when you think about 1,100 beds, it's where we get to our $41 million number. So the $25 million is not going to be enough to get all of those folks shelter. And if we just move them without shelter, then they're coming into the neighborhoods and business districts. So I talk about, well, what if we took $5 or $10 million of that and stabilized the camps, right? You know, maybe a little bit of consolidation. We got folks some basic services and we staffed it. And then immediately the safety issues are better for everybody. Immediately the fire issues go down because you have people there whose job it is to make sure that basic needs are being met and to keep an eye on things, you know? So, I mean, that isn't great, but I think if we could talk about something tomorrow, when I talk to the business owners who have large encampments very close by, they're like, that's great. Can you do that tomorrow? And I say, okay, yeah, but we still need the support, right? We are still looking at a budget deficit. We still need to figure out how we pay for that, which is really where I hope the county will come in, because we know having mental health, social workers, the types of folks that are really have access to those systems and can start working on paperwork and analysis would be great. But I'm really in the mindset now of let's stabilize everybody. Let's help get their basic needs met, which will help everybody inside and outside of encampments.
Finally, if Measure O does pass, how will you work within this new construct to help the unhoused community in the city?
I mean, we will continue to push for what works. We will continue to push at the Board of Supervisors, for instance, with business leaders, with community leaders for services and solutions. We will continue to push for affordable housing, and we will continue to do what we can to mitigate to the degree we can. You know, nobody knows how much this new system of private complaints will cost us. I hope that it doesn't mean we have to cut other city functions, which we might. You know, it's not like we can say, hey, we're not going to respond to you within the certain number of days because we're out of money. You know, we're going to have to staff that up to what it needs to be, whatever that number is.
So you're saying you may have to make cuts elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, because we don't know how much this will cost us. And in the end, I mean, just that compliance mechanism alone of the private right of action, we have no idea. So what does that mean for youth services, for parks, for public safety? I don't know. We can't answer that question. So I will say that my hope is that we'd be able to continue doing what we're doing and continue on the path. But I am really concerned not only that people will continue to focus on the city when they need to also focus on the county and the state, and that we won't have the resources to continue doing what we're trying to do. Those two things really keep me up at night.
That is my conversation with Sacramento City Council member Katie Valenzuela, one of the most vocal opponents of Measure O. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. So we just heard from two of the most prominent voices on both sides of the Measure O debate in Sacramento. We're now going to turn to CAP Radio reporter Chris Nichols, who covers homelessness and housing in Sacramento, to hear his analysis of our conversations. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Vicki. Good morning.
Good morning. So in these interviews, we heard a lot of arguments for and against Measure O, but the one thing Conway and Councilmember Valenzuela seemed to agree on was the scale of Sacramento's homelessness crisis. Remind us how fast this problem has grown in recent years.
Right. And it's been growing very, very fast. I think that both sides, after listening to those interviews, they do agree about the severity of this problem. As you said, they just have very, very different visions for how to go about solving it. As far as how bad things have gotten, you mentioned this earlier, but I think it's worth repeating. The most recent point in time count released in June, it shows that there are now 9,300 people experiencing homelessness in Sacramento County. And that is up 67% from 3 years ago. And this count, which is conducted by volunteers, it's widely considered to be an undercount. There are likely many, many more unhoused people in places that are not easy to survey, people who are couch surfing or people who live in remote areas outdoors. You know, one more note on these numbers, because we are talking about a city measure, it's important to say that the vast majority of unhoused residents do live within Sacramento's city limits.
Yeah, that is an important distinction. What did the point in time count find in terms of unsheltered individuals who are experiencing homelessness? And is there an estimate for how many live in encampments, which of course would be subject to Measure O?
Well, that count found that nearly three quarters of the people who were surveyed were considered unsheltered. And that's a term that means they were found outdoors, in tents or in vehicles, abandoned buildings, or other locations that are not suitable to live in. And, you know, these next numbers on encampments, they were kind of shocking to me when I read the report back in June. They're still pretty sobering now, but volunteers counted more than 1,600 tents and 1,100 vehicles being used for shelter. Those were nearly five times larger than what they found just 3 years earlier.
Well, five times larger than 2019, and that was already a high number. One thing Daniel Conway from the Yes on O campaign and Councilmember Valenzuela from the No on O campaign disagreed about was whether Measure O will actually require the city to build more shelter space. Conway says it will. Valenzuela says it won't. What do we know about this?
Well, I think the short answer is that it depends on the city's finances. The measure does require the city to identify and approve what could be hundreds of new shelter spaces fairly quickly within 90 days of the measure going into effect. But it also has language that says the city doesn't necessarily have to add this shelter if its finances are struggling. It says the city would first look to use county, state, or federal money to pay for those new spaces. And if that money was not enough, the city would have to use its own money, but it would be obligated to spend only $5 million per year, and only if the city has a surplus of money, something city officials are not forecasting for the next fiscal year, which starts in July.
Yeah, $5 million is a drop in the bucket when the city is forecasting a $40 million budget gap to pay for homelessness services next fiscal year. So if Measure O is approved, could we be in a situation where the city just doesn't have the money to build new shelters and potentially even operate existing ones?
I think that's possible. And we should note that this is really important because Sacramento's existing shelters are all typically full on any given night, and they're far short of the number that would potentially be needed to force or compel people to move under Measure O. And remember, someone camping on public property, they must be offered available shelter space before the city can force them to move. Now, with that being said, there is a lot of state and federal money available right now for homeless services. State money in particular has paid for a large chunk of the city's homeless services in recent years. I asked City Manager Howard Chan about what the city calls a homeless services funding gap and about the possibility of using state money to close it. And through a spokesperson, he said the city, quote, will continue to actively pursue funding opportunities, end quote. But he also said the priority for that state or federal money, if the city gets it, would be to close the gap needed for the existing shelters, not necessarily to create new ones. So to answer your question, Vicki, I think there is that potential. If Measure O is approved, for the city to have an enforcement measure on the books with no immediate way to put it into to implement it.
Yeah. So how much does the city pay right now to operate its existing shelters?
Well, right now, the city pays anywhere from about $33 million to $40 million per year to maintain and operate its 1,100 shelter spaces. That's according to the city manager. So this $40 million gap that's been talked about, that would account for the entire budget for those shelters. And I think one thing that this underscores is just how dependent the city is on external funding to keep those homeless services going.
Yeah, Conway, who is a Measure O supporter, said Sacramento voters already passed a funding source back in 2018 that should be supporting homelessness services, specifically Measure U. Is he right about this? Because they didn't loop in a funding mechanism for Measure O.
That's right. There is no funding mechanism within this Measure O that voters will go and decide on. I think that Conway is partially right about this on Measure U, but I also think it's fair to say that the city's homelessness challenges have expanded since that measure was passed back in 2018. That measure pays for a range of city services, not just homeless initiatives. And looking at a recent report by the Measure U Community Advisory Committee, the city has been spending several million dollars from Measure U each year on homeless services, but that advisory committee has also made the argument that the city council, which decides how to allocate the Measure U revenue, should be spending more of that money on homelessness, on things like opening more weather respite centers and safe ground sites, which would expand shelter capacity.
In response to this, Conway said his coalition might bring a tax proposal to the ballot in 2 years to create a funding stream for these services. What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, I was surprised by that. That was the first time I've heard him say that. I think it's an acknowledgement that there really could be a lack of money to move forward on what his group ultimately wants to see, which is the removal of the encampments once an offer of available shelter space is made.
Chris, you also recently spoke with Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg about the homelessness funding topic. What did he have to say?
Well, Steinberg, it's important to say he supports Measure O, even though he's repeatedly called it an imperfect measure. He told me that the concerns expressed about the homeless funding gap, he thinks those are a warning for the future.
I mean, we don't know what is going to happen nationally with the economy. There is some potential for, you know, an economic downturn. Obviously, inflation is a concern. All that can have an impact on the city's budget. I know in my, you know, nearly 6 years as mayor, that even during COVID, we have had significant resources and significant surpluses to be able to invest in a whole wide range of community priorities, including affordable housing and homelessness. And I hope that that continues.
Yeah. So let's bring the county into this, because Measure O is on the city ballot. But when we talk about the issue of homelessness, it is a city and a county issue. Measure O entirely depends on the city and the county reaching a legally binding partnership agreement, one that lays out the obligations of each local government to provide services to unhoused individuals. Why is this partnership agreement part of Measure O?
Well, it's a required part of Measure O because the city council voted in August to add it to the ballot measure. Steinberg and council members said they really need the county to be a stronger partner in addressing this crisis. And I think they worried that establishing and then operating all these new shelters under Measure O, assuming there's funding to start them up, that would be too much for the city to do without the county's help with things like specialized services for addiction treatment and mental health care. We'll play some comments from Steinberg talking about why he sees this partnership agreement as so important. Before we do, for our listeners, the mayor was at a train station when I recorded his comments, so there are some sounds in the background from that station.
We're not a mental health agency. We're not a substance abuse agency. We're not set up to do that, and we do not have the resources to do that. And so taking our commitment and partnering with the county and making a significantly greater commitment together is the way that is the best chance we have to provide relief to thousands of additional people who are suffering and relief to our broader community.
Conway, with Yes on Measure O, said he was very optimistic that the city and county are on a path to reach an agreement. What are you able to share regarding what really are closed-door negotiations?
Well, over the past week, city and county officials have gone on the record to say that they are hopeful a deal will be reached. Steinberg told me negotiations with the county are going well and that he's, quote, cautiously optimistic. A spokesperson for Sacramento County Executive Ann Edwards said in an email that Edwards is also, quote, hopeful and cautiously optimistic that both sides will reach an agreement. The county spokesperson went on to say that staff from both organizations understand the importance of cooperation and coordination to address homelessness. And I think one thing that both supporters and opponents of Measure O agree on is that having the city and county working on a partnership agreement is a positive sign and could be the best hope for the region really starting to address this crisis.
And that is CAP Radio reporter Chris Nichols. Thank you so much for providing context and analysis.
Thank you, Vicki.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.